Okay, let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you again for loving us, for being such a wonderful God. Please bless those who are still coming. Bless the Sunday school hour, the adult Bible study. Thank you again for salvation. Please meet with us, your Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. May be seated, boys and girls. Dismissed for Sunday school. I have a sign. Les is going to put out. If you go outside, I know somebody came in early this morning, but I have a table set out by the front door, and I put two slices of ham on front, and it says, do not enter without touching ham, swine, pork, or whatever else you want to call it. So you're going to put that out there. Make sure the windows are blowing away, okay? If you want to bend it and put some more rocks or bricks on it, I'd appreciate it, okay? The rest is please take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew 21. Aren't you glad you're saved? Well, one person is glad that they're saved. Thank you, Franny. I'm glad I'm saved. Are there four Jenkins back there? Wow, that's scary, man.
That's scary.
Matthew chapter number 21. Is that what I said? Matthew 21. This is part two. We started last week, the adult Bible study, on a series Sunday morning. I'm starting the series on repentance, and the adult Bible study, I'm starting the series on easy believism, Matthew chapter number 21. And I don't think I'm going to go over the verses, any verse we went over last week, but I may go over a couple, but I don't think so. I think I've got an outline here, so they're all new verses from last week. Matthew chapter 21, and starting in verse number 28. Matthew 21, starting in verse number 38. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he what? He changed his mind and went. Two different things, repent and went. He changed his mind and he went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. So here's somebody who obviously did not tell the truth. He lied and didn't go. Just like you say you're going to pray every day and you don't pray. Just like you say you're going to read your Bible every day and you don't read your Bible every day. Just like you said you're going to go to church when the doors are open, you don't. Just like you said you're going to tithe or go soul winning or do anything for God and you don't. He's no different than today's modern day independent fundamental Baptist, okay? Look at the next verse, verse number 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, watch this, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. That's a strong statement for the Son of Man to say that. That's a strong statement for the Savior who died for mankind's sins to say that. I would believe, listen to me good, a drunk, a whore, a harlot, a thief, a murderer that I met on the street or in jail or in prison that had confessed Christ to be their Savior than the average pastor, minister who says, I don't think that they're really saved. Because the words of the Lord Jesus said, this is what he said to the Pharisees, he says, the publicans and the harlots, the people that were hated the most and the people that were scorned the most and had contempt the most, the people that you criticized and the people that you hated, the people that you looked at television and crime and in jail, and you say, well, they deserve that, and they deserve to be hung, they deserve to be shot, and maybe they do for their crime. I'm not saying they don't. But when it comes to salvation, Jesus said, this is what he said, the publicans and the harlots believed him. In verse number 32, verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots, what? It didn't say they went to church. I think you ought to go to church. It didn't say they lived right. I think you ought to live right. That's what the rest of the church is for. Why don't you come back Sunday night, Wednesday night, find out how you ought to live? That's Sunday night, Wednesday night Bible preaching, amen? But when it comes to salvation, it only takes a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Because that's what Jesus said. Not Pastor so-and-so, it's what Jesus said. He said in verse number 32, well, actually the end of verse 31 again, Jesus saith unto them, he's talking to the Pharisees, the people who hate him. He's outside, he's not even in a church building. He's not behind a pulpit. He's out in the public square, out in the open. He said, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now I want somebody to show that verse to some minister who says, I don't think they're really saved. I want somebody to show this kind of a verse to some pastor, Baptist or otherwise, or evangelical, who says, well, if you're not doing A, B, or C, you're not really saved. Where's that in the Bible? Where, tell me where in the Bible it says if you commit this sin or that sin or the sin that I don't like, that you're not really saved. I think when you treat God with contempt, you're probably less saved than the harlots and the publicans who never darken the church doors. Just because they don't have character and they live like a bunch of animals has nothing to do with somebody trusting Jesus Christ to be their Savior. I want to remind you that the thief on the cross never went to church. The thief on the cross never gave any money in the offering basket. The thief on the cross never dressed right. He was naked on that cross. And Jesus said, remember me. That's what he said. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's what Jesus said. Now, you've been here long enough, you know I preach about everything I possibly can preach about. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I mean, I think it's a sin to go to movies. I've not gone to a Hollywood movie. Listen to me good. I've not gone to a Hollywood movie for about 31 years. I've not darkened the doors of a cinema for 31 years. I refuse to pay a ticket to support Hollywood that produces harlot movies and anti-Christian movies. Now, you can do anything you want. But we got a bunch of lukewarm believers today who are criticizing other people that are not living right, doing right, when you can't even read your Bible every day. You can't, man, oh man, there's a God in heaven, amen? Wow. When a black person walks into church, you know there's a God in heaven, amen? Especially our church, amen? Yeah. He must be backslidden. He must be blackslidden. He probably doesn't know which church he walked into, amen? Yeah. Jesus said here, the publicans and the harlots believed. That's all it said, believed him. It didn't say the publicans and the harlots went to church. By the way, we're too caught up on church. By the way, if you're not in church, you're not right with God. Let me just repeat that. When you're not in church, if you're not working, sick, in a hospital, traveling, you're not right with God. I don't care who you are. I don't care if I'm throwing up, I come to church. I don't care if I got a fever, I'm coming to church. I don't care if I got a cold that somebody can catch from me. I don't care. I'm coming to church. You all get sick if you want. It doesn't matter to me. Stay away from me if you want. Don't shake my hand. Don't be near me when I sneeze. I couldn't give a flip because I care what Jesus said in Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more you see the day approaching. When you miss church, you are not right with God. But that doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. Absolutely nothing. If you don't tithe, you're not right with God. Amen. You don't go sowing, you're not right with God. Amen. You don't dress right, you're not right with God. But that has nothing to do with salvation. Absolutely nothing. Amen. Because Jesus said, the one who hung on the cross, the one who paid for our sins. He says the publicans and the harlots go in before you jokers do. Before you bunch of two-faced liars do. That's what he said. So people don't go soul winning today because, oh, Pastor, they don't really mean it. They're not coming to church. And, you know, maybe they just lied to me. How do you know if they lied to you? You can't see the heart. Only God sees the heart. For John came unto you. We're in Matthew 21, verse 32. Somebody help that black man if you can't read. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. That's why people don't want to go street preaching. Because you meet a lot of drunks, harlots, and a lot of people who don't, you know, the homeless there, you know. That's why I don't want to go out witnessing on a street corner. You know why? Oh, those people are so disgusting. Oh, I can't. I don't want to do that, Pastor. I can't. You don't want to do? You want to be in a comfortable church setting somewhere and sit in a nice, comfortable pew where you don't hear, where you don't smell somebody stink that hasn't taken a shower for like 2-3 months. Because you don't care about their salvation. You just care about hobnobbing with people who smell good and put on fragrance and perfume and cologne and dress nice. That's the average independent Baptist church today. I don't believe that you're praying if you disobey the rest of the commands that I just listed. I don't believe it. You can put on Facebook all you want. You can put on Twitter all you want. I love Jesus. No, you don't. Why don't you stop lying and get right with God and get the gospel out and hand out some gospel tracts, knock on somebody's door, and tell them about Jesus? Mark chapter number one. Mark chapter number one. Mark chapter number one. Did you touch the hand coming in this morning? Thank you. Okay. Mark chapter number one. Verse number 15. I think we may have mentioned this verse in last week's Sunday morning sermon. But here it is, verse number 15. Jesus preached and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and what? That's what it says, believe the gospel, doesn't it? You got to repent, again, means change your mind. And after you change your mind, you're supposed to believe the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no one who has ever lived that has obeyed the Bible. No one except Jesus Christ. And even if you think you did it on the outside, you sure didn't do it on the inside with your heart. Jesus said, believe the gospel. He didn't say, do anything else. He didn't say, go to church. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Chapter number five. You're either a believer or an unbeliever. Amen. You either have believed in Jesus Christ or you have not believed in Jesus Christ. Now, after you believe, then there's growth. After you believe, then you can become a disciple. After you believe and you become a disciple, then you become a Christian. But you're not a Christian just because you believe. And you're not a disciple because you believe. But you're a child of God once you believe the gospel and you after you've changed your mind. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. And verse number, verse number 30. Oh. Well, you know what? For time's sake, let's go right to the verse 36. You ought to read the story when you get out. Mark it down and read it later on. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 36. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. That's what he said. Amen. Hey, you know what you need for your prayers to be answered? Believing. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Too many Baptists act like Catholics. Here's what you think. You think because you do so much that God's going to listen to you. Show me where that's in the Bible. Show me where that's Catholic theology. Doing penance and lighting candles and doing rosaries and our fathers and penance and all the trash. You know what God says? Believe. You know what the problem in our country is God's people don't believe. They believed enough to get saved, but they don't believe the rest of the book. You believe the gospel in order to save your soul from a hell selfishly, but you don't believe the rest of it to live righteously and godly and holy so that God can bless you. And the same way you believe the gospel is the same way you believe the rest of the book. Here's what I'm telling you, if I had to guess, 90%, 95% minimum of God's people today have believed the gospel only to be saved, if they're saved now, and have disbelieved the other part. Amen. They've on purpose said, I don't believe it. Maybe they say it publicly because how are you going to say, well, I don't believe that? How can you publicly say in a saved congregation, in a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, how can you tell somebody, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe this part of the Bible? You sound, but that's true. That's what happens in your mind. You don't believe it. As I believe, so have I spoken, the Bible says. And we'll get to those verses in a week or two. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. He went at verse number 1. He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which he has given unto him? And even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James? And by the way, this is a list of Jesus' brothers, and his sisters are mentioned. Jesus was not an only child. There were seven children. Amen. Seven. Seven is the number of completion, perfection, whatever you want to call it, okay? There were seven siblings in his family. Amen. Okay? He said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, that's one brother, and Joseph, two, and Judah, three, that's the one who wrote Jude, and Simon, four, not Simon Peter, different Simon, and are not his sisters, that's at least two. So we know there's at least seven in the family children, okay? Catholic theology teaches you that Jesus was his only child. He wasn't an only child. That is blasphemy. That's exactly right. Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Amen. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their what? You know why God don't bless you? Because you don't believe the man of God. You don't believe God. You don't believe the word of God. And that's why no matter if God blesses somebody else, he can't bless you because of your unbelief. And you don't see any answer to prayer in your life. You have a hard heart. You don't care about souls dying and going to hell. When's the last time you told a sinner how to go to heaven? When's the last time you shared the gospel with a lost sinner? He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching because somebody else wants to listen. You know what's amazing to me? Somebody who comes to church and hates this kind of preaching says, I'm not going to go back. Pastor, I'm not going to come back now for 2 or 3 weeks because of what you said. And somebody sitting 3-4 rows in front of you says, boy, this is great preaching. I can't wait to come back next time. Now, what's the difference? Tell me, what is the difference? Somebody's got a hard heart and somebody loves God. Somebody's willing to surrender and somebody says, I don't care about what he says. I love my pot and my liquor more than I care about missionaries going on a foreign land and getting the gospel out. I care more about sitting in my pajamas at home without getting out of the house instead of going to church where some preacher's going to yell at me. Did you drive 150 miles just to come here this morning? You got a problem, son. You really got a problem, man. We got people 3 blocks away getting mad at a preacher and don't want to come. What's the difference? The heart. The heart. That's why they hate street preachers. You don't know that because you've never been on a street corner preaching. You've never been on a street corner handing out gospel tracts while the street preacher's preaching. You don't see the scorn that's thrown at him, the derision, the mockery. The hatred, the vile. Hey, that's what they did to John the Baptist. That's what they did to Paul. They did that to Jesus. But you know what he says? You know what your problem is? Unbelief. Unbelief. That's what Jesus said. Verse 5, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. This is God Almighty, the creator of the universe. That's what the Bible says. Look, I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm just John Cletus. I'm a Baptist, John the Baptist. But I can't do what Jesus did. I can't raise the dead. I can't make the lame walk again. But I can preach. I can preach. Mark chapter number 9. He marveled because of their unbelief. He didn't marvel because they were missing church. He didn't marvel because they weren't doing right. He marveled because of their unbelief. They seen the miracles. Same thing of the Jews in the Old Testament, man. Can you imagine walking through the Red Sea on dry ground? You just think about this for a second. The Jews went through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Red Sea opened up. people say this. They say, well, the part of the Red Sea where they went through was really shallow. And, the wind came, big mighty wind came, and it opened it up so they could walk across the Red Sea. And some boy in class said, when the teacher said that, he said, wow, that's even a bigger miracle than what I thought it was. He said, why do you say that? Because all those Egyptians and chariots drowned in about 3 inches of water. Can you imagine walking through the Red Sea? The Bible says on dry ground. That means when they were walking, dust came up. When God says dry, I believe dry. Amen. I don't know, 5 foot high, 10 foot high, 20 foot high, 30 foot high walls of water. Walking through the Red Sea and then turning around and seeing the whole Egyptian army drown in their chariots in the same water that you just passed through. Amen. And then those same Jews not believing God about going into the Promised Land. Hey, that sounds like people in an independent fundamental Baptist church. Oh, I got saved, Pastor. I love Jesus, Pastor. Why don't you stop lying to God? Why don't you just stop lying to people? Huh? Why don't you start falling in love with Jesus Christ? That is the problem. It's not the preacher. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your children. It's not your parents. You're the problem. Unbelief. Verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5, he could there do no mighty work save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Mark chapter number 9. And all the verses we're covering right now have to do with believing or not believing. Not obeying the commandments, not obeying the rest of the word of God. Just believing, because that's what the series is on right now. And there is a connection between believing and action. I'm not saying that there isn't. But believing, action has nothing to do with being saved. Absolutely nothing. Mark chapter number 9. Oh, verse number 14, I guess. And he came to his disciples. He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with him? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever, dumb means, you can't hear, right? Or you can't speak. Can't speak. Okay? All right, can't speak. Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them and saith, O faithless generation, faithless. To disciples now, people that are saved. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if you go to church, all things are possible. If you keep going to church. How about Christians that are in Red China and Cuba and in Iran that are in prison are not allowed to go to church and can't go to church, can't physically go to church? They're more right with God than the average Baptist in America, where the doors are open and you refuse to obey God. But see, God says this because it's not depending on whether you go to church or not, whether you're able to or not. It's whether you believe. Because that's what he said. Look what he said. He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know what your problem is? You don't believe. Your problem is you don't believe this book. This is the very word of God that has the words of God, and you're blaming everybody else instead of yourself because you don't believe what God said. He said, all things are possible. That tells me, you know what tells me? We can have a revival if we wanted to, but we're not going to have a revival because America is too stinking proud and too full of herself. I'm talking about God's people too stinking proud, and God's people are too full of themselves. So we're not going to have revival until God, I'm telling you, you think 9/11 was bad? You wait till God brings the other thing to pass. You just wait to see what's coming down in the future. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I what? Believe. Help thou mine. That's what it says. See, everybody has a degree of belief that's different than everybody else. Everybody has a degree of faith that is different from everybody else. My degree of believing is different from your believing. And your degree of faith is different than my degree of faith. Hold your place there and turn to Romans. I think it's chapter 14, please. Romans chapter 14. Yes, Romans chapter 14 and verse 22. Here's what God said. Hast thou faith? You're reading from the King James Bible. You ready? Hast thou faith? Share it. Is that what it says? I mean, you should share your faith, don't you think? That's not what God said, though. You want to tell everybody what you believe in. You know why? Because you don't know the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you ought to tell everybody what you believe. Do you hear what I just said? Now, if you're a preacher, a pastor, give them both barrels, amen. But you know what God said about your faith? Keep it to yourself. Close your mouth and obey God to the best of your ability. What you ought to do is you ought to open your mouth and give everybody the gospel. The gospel is different than the faith. Your faith is not my faith, and my faith is not your faith. Your belief is not my belief, and my belief is not your belief. We have different degrees, varying degrees of belief, and varying degrees of faith. So you have faith? Keep it to yourself. Obey God to the best of your ability. And don't look down your nose at anybody because they're not doing what you're doing. I'm sick and tired of all these pastors. Well, they're not really saved because they don't pass their litmus test, you know. As if the pastor is the litmus test now, you know. No, my Bible says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What do you do with that verse? You know what you do? You believe that verse. Where God says, keep your faith to yourself. But he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have no business telling everybody what you think, what you believe. Now, listen to me good. If you're the father, you have a duty to tell your family. If you're a single mother, you have a duty to tell your children. If you're a preacher, if you're the pastor, a bishop, you have a duty to tell the people. A duty. But if you're not, keep it to yourself. You want to tell your neighbor what they're doing wrong? That's what everybody's doing. Oh, look how bad they're living. Look how wicked they are. All right, let's keep move on. Mark chapter number 9. Let's go back to Mark chapter number 9. I'm sorry, we have now reached our quota for black people in our church. Can you make sure that no one else is allowed back in? Mark chapter number 9. We're just trying to keep up with the, you know, what's it called? Affirmative action? Quotas? The church cannot be more than 51% female. I say we lower that down to about 25% female. Mark, you can laugh if you wanted to. Mark chapter 9. You could enjoy life if you wanted to. Unless the preaching's really getting to you. Huh? Unless conviction's really getting to you. Huh? Has somebody else lied to you about God? Somebody else lied to you about the Word of God? Look, it's not my fault my priest lied to me. It's not your fault. It's not my fault that your priest lied to you. It's not my fault. Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9, verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, child molester, a pervert, queer, faggot, homosexual, sodomite, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, what's it say after that? No, you skipped something. That believe in me. Now you listen to me good. There's a lot of children that have gotten saved. They don't come to church because their parents don't say, I'm not going to let my kids go there. So you tell me now a kid who hasn't been in church in 5 or 10 years and has grown up out of church now is not really saved because their parent or guardian took them out of church. That's happened here a lot of times in the last 32 years, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I try to get them saved as soon as you possibly can. The first time they come to church, amen. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl, 5 years old, 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, because Satan's going to do everything he can for that child never to hear the gospel again. But my Bible says all they had to do is believe to be saved. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. But you know what God says? It would be better for a millstone to be hung around a pervert's neck. It'll be better for a millstone to be hung around the person who is a stumbling block to a child, to keep them away from God, to keep them away from the Bible, to keep them away from church, and to be drowned in the sea. That's what Jesus said. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me. Mom, Dad, I really want to go to that church. No, we're not going to go there. They don't like black people over there. They don't like Greek people. They don't like Jews over there. They don't like anybody over there. They're hate people. They hate people. Okay, parent, grandparent. This verse is talking to you. This verse is talking to anybody that keeps any child that believes in Jesus Christ away from God. It better for not just perverts, by the way. Anybody's a stumbling block. It's better for them, Jesus said, to hang a millstone around a neck and cast into the sea. I'd be careful about putting a stumbling block in front of one of these little ones that believe. Because God's going to hold you accountable. These little kids see their dads and mom not going to church. They see their grandparents not coming to church. I don't know about you. I'm glad I'm saved. Mark 16. I'm glad I'm Greek and I can eat ham, amen. Mark 16. I'm not saying it's good for you, but once a week, maybe on a Sunday morning, it'd be good for you to touch it. Mark chapter 16. Verse number 9. All right, our quota is now filled. We're overflowing to capacity now. They obviously don't know where they're walking into. They don't know. They just don't know, you know. Mark chapter 16, verse number 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, that's a Sunday, by the way. The first day of the week is a Sunday. For all you Seventh-day Adventists, okay? Meeting on the Sabbath completed Jews, you know, on your synagogue, okay? Jesus risen early the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. These are disciples that were with Jesus for 3.5 years. He told them he's going to die. He told them that he's going to be resurrected. They heard the news, and they didn't believe. You know what? I'm preaching for 32 years, looking at some of the same faces, And you still don't believe it. Because you choose to be miserable. You choose to be to disbelieve the very words of God. Oh, you may say, I'm saved, I believe the gospel, but how about the rest of the book? How can you pick and choose whatever you like and don't like? Verse 12, after that, he appeared in another form unto the two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. It's the God of this world that had blinded the eyes, deceived the hearts, because you want to be deceived. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them. You ought to get your dictionary out when you get home and read the word upbraid and find out what it means. It means he chewed them out, gave them a tongue lashing. He threw the book at them. Whatever description you want to use it, go home and read the definition of upbraided. He chewed them out. With their unbelief and hardness of heart. These are the disciples. These are the 11 disciples that were with Jesus for 3.5 years. They saw the miracles. They slept with him. They ate with him. They ministered with him. They saw the dead raised again. And these 11 disciples didn't believe. They had a hard heart. It's sort of like when you come to church and the preacher's preaching. So why does he get so upset? Well, some people need to be woken up. They need to be woke. The word is woke, right? Are you woke? Did I say it right? Are you woke yet? We think too highly of ourselves. Yes, you do. Yeah. See, I'm not that bad, Pastor. That's because you don't read the Bible. You don't read the Word of God. They had the same problem that we have, unbelief in heart. After they got saved, they believed. Don't worry, we're going to get to the other verse. They believed when Jesus called them into the ministry, they believed on him. But here, even after the resurrection, they didn't believe. And he started preaching at them. The 11 disciples. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. I'd be very careful if I were you saying, well, so-and-so, they got a hard heart. Okay. Oh, their heart is not as hard as yours, maybe? Or is it not as hard as yours? Or is it harder than yours? It's like the degree of belief and degree of faith. Huh? You know how hypocritical that is? Now, we're going to close with this here. So now, listen, we're going through these verses. Here are 11 men who are called out. These are businessmen, by the way. Every single one was a businessman. Nobody was on welfare. Nobody was on food stamps. Jesus always uses people that are working and busy. Never uses lazy-bodied people. Never uses people that have excuses. Look in the Bible. He never calls anybody into that in the ministry. Only in today's society do people enter into the ministry because they're too stinking lazy to get a real job. And they suck off God's people's goodwill, sort of, I'll say. But all these businessmen, fishermen, publicans, these are hardworking men in the ministry with them for 3.5 years. They heard he was going to die. They heard he was going to be risen from the dead. They heard about the kingdom of God. They saw the miracles. And they had a hard heart. And the first thing he does when he shows up, he didn't say, it's going to be all right, fellas. He didn't say that. He didn't put his arm around and say, oh, don't worry about it. I understand what you're going through. That's what you want from an evangelical pastor who's going to lie to you and not tell you the truth. My Bible says the truth will make you free. Amen. Not set you free, make you free. There's a big difference. Because you can be set free and then caught again. But when Jesus said made free, the truth will make you free. You'll be free forever once you're saved, man. Once you know the truth will make you free. So the first thing he does when he shows up, he starts preaching at them. Well, I know. You showed up this morning and said, well, maybe he's going to have some nice, kind, soft, warm words to encourage me today. Well, usually I do that. Usually. But not lately. My sermons are online. Go listen to my sermons from 10, 20, 30 years ago. You'll listen. You can listen to them. But you know what you need? You need hellfire and damnation, separatist Baptist preaching. Because too many of us have a hard heart. Don't look at the other churches because, well, we're stricter than they are, Pastor. I don't give a flip about that. I don't really care. Well, we're more narrow-minded, Pastor. We go soul winning. There's more people coming here at our church. The people here are nicer and kinder, and we get along better, Pastor. I've been to those other churches, Pastor. I really don't care what the other church is doing. It really doesn't bother me. We're not supposed to compare ourselves to anybody. God says we're not wise when we do that. My job is to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. So the first thing Jesus did when he showed up, he preached at them. And the very next thing he said after that, look at it. In verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, to the average person who's saved, that doesn't make sense because here are backslidden 11 disciples, hard hearts, not right with God. They didn't believe the fact that Jesus had rose from the dead. They're having a pity party. Jesus shows up and starts preaching, and the first thing he says to them, he says, go soul winning. I said, Pastor, I'm not really qualified to do that. Yes, if you're saved and born again and you're breathing, you qualify to go soul winning. Okay, are you breathing this morning? Can you take a breath? Now let it out. Everybody's breathing? Okay. It looks like everybody's breathing this morning. You qualify if you're a child of God. So I have not been to any theological school, and I haven't gone to divinity school, and I haven't gone to a Bible college. Good. That's even better. Because your mind hasn't been brainwashed and poisoned. It's better if you haven't gone to those Bible colleges. It's better if you haven't gone to divinity school. Better that you haven't gone to theological seminars. It's better if you just believe what God said instead of what a lying man will say. So I can't do that. Yes, you can, because you don't believe you can. You can because you believe you can. You can't because you believe you can't. It's all depending on what you believe. What do you believe? Have you asked God to save your soul? Have you asked Jesus Christ for mercy to save you from hell? Your church membership in this church ain't going to save your soul. Amen. All the money you give in the world ain't going to save your soul. You can't buy God off. Amen. You know what you need to do? You need to believe the gospel. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for being such a wonderful God. Bless the morning service to follow. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. Give safety on the roads. Bless the singing and the preaching. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take about maybe 10 minutes. Come right back. 10 minutes.